بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطاهرين ما دام ما في السماوات والأرضين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نسألك علما ينفعنا وارفعنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. نوينا التعلم والتعليم والتذكر والتذكير والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for once again affording us the opportunity to acquire such knowledge that would guide us to and guide us along the straight path. Alhamdulillah, by His grace, we have reached lesson number 14. And lesson number 14, in terms of our reading of Al-Mukhtasar Al-Latif, Ba-Fazl's short abridgment, we've reached lesson number 14. And today we look at the conditions of Tayammum. The author starts off by mentioning وَشُرُوطُ التَّيَمُّمُ. They are 13 conditions. Shurut is the plural of the word shart. Shart means condition. At-tayammum, the word tayammum literally means to intend. Here it refers to the dry ablution, which we discussed in lesson number 13 in terms of the integrals, in terms of the act in and of itself. Now we are looking to the conditions of tayammum. There are 13 conditions. The first condition reads as follows. It must be with turab. The word turab translates as sand. If you wanted to, the translation that I've chosen would be dust producing sand. So the sand must have dust, as we will see in a moment, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first issue would be it must be with turab. Why is that? لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. Because of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that reads as follows: وَجُعِلَتْ لَنَا الْأَرْضُ كُلُّهَا مَسْجِدًا. And the entire circumference of the earth, the entire face of the earth, has been made for us a place suitable for praying, suitable for prostration. وَجُعِلَتْ تُرْبَتُهَا لَنَا طَهُورًا إِذَا لَمْ نَجِدْ الْمَاءِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continues and he says, the earth found on the face of the earth, or rather the ground, the sand found on the face of the earth, that has been made for us tahuran. Now the word tahur, the root letters are tahara, which means to purify or to be pure. Tahuran means that which has a purificatory capacity. In other words, by means of it, you can, in the absence of water, or when a person is sick and unable to use water, then this sand, this dust producing sand, can serve the purpose that which water would serve in terms of enabling a person to perform the prayer or whatever requires a state of ritual purity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Let's look into some of the detail regarding this. So we've clearly established that you must perform tayammum with sand. You can't perform it with any other given substance. So the sand that we are referring to would be any color of sand. Even if the sand is burnt, burnt sand is also considered fine as long as the name does not change. On the other hand, crushed stone does not qualify, and neither does woody fragments on the face of the earth. In other words, it has to be sand. We now go, inshallah, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to condition number 2. We won't be able to recall all of the conditions all of the time as we usually do. Condition number 1, condition number 2, here are quite a number of conditions. So the first condition would be at-turab. It must be with sand, as per the detail explained a moment ago. Condition number 2 reads as follows: al-qasdu ila at-turab. A person must intend the sand. What is meant thereby? أيقصد المتيمم التراب من نقل. That the person performing the dry ablution, he must intend the transfer of the sand. ولو بفعل غيري بإذنه. Even if it be that somebody else transfers the sand for him, he doesn't transfer the sand himself, he has an aid who does it for him, no problem. the important part would be that he intends the sand. This is one of the conditions. So if a person finds himself out in the desert and he's walking in the desert and he's looking for water, he doesn't find any water, then he notices that his limbs are covered with dust from the desert sand. Can he use that to perform tayammum? No, he can't. Why? Because he didn't intend the sand. In other words, the transfer of the sand onto his limbs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We now go on to condition number three. Condition number three reads as follows. وَأَن يَكُونَ التُرَابُ طَاهِرًا That, أَن يَكُونَ التُرَابُ طَاهِرًا That the sand that you are going to be using to perform the dry ablution, that sand must be طاهرًا. It must be pure. Why is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا That you perform the dry ablution with sa'id. The word sa'id translates as sand. Then طَيِّبًا, it must be clean. In other words, it must not be impure. فَلَا يَصِحُّ التَّيَمُّمْ بِتُرَابٍ مُتَنَجِّسٍ As a result of that, it is not permissible to perform the dry ablution with sand that is impure. How is sand impure? بِنَحْوِ بَوْلٍ وَإِنْ جَفَى For example, a person came along and he stood and he urinated, and that sand now is mixed with the urine. Irrespective of whether it is wet or whether it is dry, it's not permissible for a person to use such sand for dry ablution. And our scholars give another example, and they say, وَلَا بِتُرَابِ مَقْبَرَةٍ نُبِشَتْ لِاخْتِلَاتِ بِأَجْزَاءِ الْمَيْتِ And neither can you use the sand that has been taken out of a grave that has been undug. Why? Because the body parts of the deceased has integrated with that particular sand and has causing it to be rendered as impure, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Condition number three, the sand must be pure. We go on to condition number four, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are fairly simple and straightforward, as you can clearly see. Condition number four, what is condition number four? It reads, طَهُورًا خَالِصًا عَنِ الْخَلِيطِ So we said that the sand that you are going to be using, that dust producing sand that you're going to be using, number one, it must be pure. Number two, it must have the ability to purify. طهوراً It must be طهور, the ability to purify. And then خالصاً عن الخليط It must be free of being mixed with anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We're going to look at that now very, very briefly. In other words, when we're saying it must be طهور, if you can just keep in mind, when we looked at wudu, we said that you're going to perform wudu with water. What must the nature of the water be? It must be pure and it must be able to purify. So, for example, if you used water either for wudu purposes or for a purificatory bath, the water that you catch from there that has already been used, can you reuse it? No, you cannot reuse it. It may be pure, but it's unable to purify. Likewise, in this particular instance, if a person were to use dust producing sand to perform tayammum, wipe his face and wipe his arms, and somehow or the other he catches the remains thereof, can he use it again for tayammum? No, he cannot use it again, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So I'm going to read through the text here, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, أو غير مستعمل في حدث أو خبث Not أو, rather A. In other words, it must not have been used in the removal of a ritual impurity or in terms of a physical impurity. The example of the first would be that which is on the limb of a person who is busy performing tayammum after he has wiped it. وَمَا تَنَاثَرَ مِنْهُ بَعْدَ مَسْحِيلَهُ And that which falls off after he had used it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The example of the second one would be if a person uses sand to remove a particular impurity, like to remove some urine on the floor or to remove some stool. That type of sand cannot be used. Why? Because it doesn't qualify for the first one. It's not tahir, neither is it mutahir, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Condition number five. Condition number five reads as follows: أَيَّكُونَ لَهُ غُبَارٌ بِحَيْثُ يَلْتَصِقُ بِالْعُذْبِ And when we look at condition number five, that is where our translation comes in. It must be sand, but dust producing sand. In Arabic, that particular phenomenon is expressed as follows: أَيَّكُونَ لَهُ غُبَارٌ That sand must have dust. In what sense? بِحَيْثُ يَلْتَصِقُ بِالْأُذْبِ In a sense that dust, when you're going to wipe your face with the sand, or when you're going to wipe your arms, then that dust is going to stick to your lungs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Condition number 5. We go on to condition number 6. Condition number 6, I had mixed up the text earlier on. Condition number 6 talks to khalisan anil khalid. It must be free of being mixed with anything else. So you have dust producing sand, you have it with you. The problem is that it's mixed up with salt or pepper or flour, whatever the case may be. If that's the case, then one cannot use such sand. It should not be mixed with flour or anything else, even if it is a little, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Condition number 6. We go on to condition number 7. Condition number 7 reads as follows: وَأَنْ يَكُونَ بِضَرْبَتَيْنِ ضَرْبَةٌ لِلْوَجْهِ وَضَرْبَةٌ لِلْيَدَيْنِ. At the very least, when a person is performing tayammum, it is stipulated that there be two strikings, and as we will see in a moment, two transfers of the sand. So when you're going to be wiping your face, you're going to hit, knock the excess sand off, and you're going to wipe your face. So it's ضَرْبَة, one hit, and then one wipe. Then you're going to hit again in order to do both your arms. So at the very least, it is stipulated. Condition number 7 says it is stipulated that there be two hittings. We look to the text now to understand better what the term hitting means. What is meant by hitting is transferring. So there should be two transfers. One for the face, we're talking about the transfer of the dust. Two transfers, there should be two transfers. One for the face and one for the arms. And number 2, the transfer may even occur by placing the hands on the sand. So if the sand is soft and the dust very easily comes on, one can actually, if you wanted to, roll in the sand, so to say. One can place his hand, his arm, or his face onto the ground. As long as the sand comes to one's face, it is transferred to one's face, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on to condition number 8. Condition number 8 reads as follows: وَأَنْ يَكُونَ بَعْدَ دُخُولِ الْوَقْتِ. Very importantly, condition number 8 is the tayammum, the dry ablution, should be performed بَعْدَ دُخُولِ الْوَقْتِ, after the time for the prayer had set in already. So a person is traveling and he comes to a particular spot. Let's say it is 5 to 1 and Dhuhr only sets in at 1 o'clock. If he performs the tayammum then that tayammum, no matter how diligently he may perform the tayammum, it is not going to be valid. Why? Because one of the conditions are not met. What is that condition? That is the condition that in order for the tayammum to be valid, the time for the salah which you wish to pray, that time must have already set in, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. أَيَّكُونَ بَعْدَ دُخُولِ الْوَقْتِ, that it must be done after the time had set in. Now what happens if a person is traveling? Now according to the Shafi school of thought, as we will come to learn later, it is permissible to join between two prayers. You can join the Asr prayer to the Dhuhr prayer. So if a person is doing that, so he's going to wait for 1 o'clock, then Dhuhr sets in, he performs tayammum, and then he makes Dhuhr. Thereafter, after performing Dhuhr, now he wants to make Asr. Despite the fact that he's bringing Asr forward, the time for him praying the Asr is considered then, so it would be valid for him to perform the tayammum and then make Asr. My understanding of that particular trick would be, you cannot, as we have already understood, you cannot use a single dry ablution, a single tayammum, to perform two farts. You cannot use a single tayammum to perform two farts. That's the one thing. So you can't make one tayammum and then make Dhuhr and you make Asr. One consideration. The second consideration here in terms of condition number 8 is, you can only perform tayammum after the time has set in. Now in this particular example, technically speaking, the time for Asr is yet to come. But because you brought it forward, the time to pray it has come now. So after you finish your Dhuhr, then you perform dry ablution and then you make your Asr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, condition number 8. We now look to condition number 9. Condition number 9 reads as follows: وَأَيْ يُجَدِّدَ التَّيَمُّمَ لِكُلِّ فَرْضٍ. What we had alluded to in terms of our example a moment ago. وَأَيْ يُجَدِّدَ التَّيَمُّمَ, that a person should renew his tayammum, لِكُلِّ فَرْضٍ, for every fard. Every fard عَيْنِ. So you get two types of fard, two types of compulsory acts. The one compulsory act would be fard ayn, an individual obligation. The other one would be fard kifaya, a communal obligation. So for a fard kifaya, that's a different story altogether. We are talking about a fard ayn. So for every fard ayn which you wish to fulfill, you have to perform a new tayammum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So for example, I'm going traveling,
I perform tayammum for dhuhr. I'm still traveling at asr time. I still can't find water. I can't use my previous tayammum for asr as well. I cannot use the tayammum performed for dhuhr for asr. Dhuhr has its own tayammum and asr would have its own tayammum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وَأَيْ يُجَدِّدَ التَّيَمُّمْ لِكُلِّ فَرْضٍ. For every compulsory act, you need to perform a new tayammum. It is explained as follows. For a fard salah and a fard tawaf, tajdeed, in other words, a renewal is required. The same for two fard salah and the same for two fard tawaf, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We now move to condition number 10. Condition number 10 has a short preamble. The preamble reads as follows. I use the word exordium. I think that is the type of word that they use when you want to give like a short preamble, short introduction to the next point. So we want to give a short introduction to condition number 10. The introduction reads as follows. A person is unable to use water due to illness or simply because there is no water. Now we're looking at the latter case. He's not performing the dry ablution because of an illness. He's performing a dry ablution due to the non-existence of water. Now in that latter case, he must search for water, which is condition number 10. So a person is traveling, he needs to perform salah, he can't find water. He wants to perform tayammum. A condition that will enable him to perform tayammum would be that he must first search for the water. If he just performs tayammum without searching for the water, then the tayammum would be invalid, and as a consequence, his prayer would be invalid. Let's look to that now. The text reads as follows. وَأَيْ يُفَتِّشَ عَنِ الْمَاءِ قَبْلَ التَّيَمُّمِ. A person should search for water prior to performing tayammum. وَبَعْدَ دُخُولِ الْوَقْتِ. Importantly, this search must be undertaken after the time has set in order for it to be valid. I'm thinking to myself that a person may search for water before and he doesn't find water, and then when the time sets in, he relies on the previous search. No, that's not going to work. He must start searching for the water. He may search for the water before the time, but in order to validate his tayammum, he needs to be searching for water within the time as well. وَأَيْ يُفَتِّشَ عَنِ الْمَاءِ قَبْلَ التَّيَمُّمْ. A person should search for water prior to the dry ablution. وَبَعْدَ دُخُولِ الْوَقْتِ. After the time has entered. فِي رَحْلِهِ. Where does he search? He searches within his provisions. وَرَفَقَتِهِ. Amongst his companions. وَحَوَالَيْهِ. And in his immediate surroundings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So what is meant by his immediate surroundings? I think the first two, imagine you come into a stop along the road and no water. What do you have to do? You have to search for water. How do you do that? Look in the car that you are driving. You have passengers with you. Ask the passengers, do you have water on your person? وحوالي, and a person looks around. So what is meant by looking around? بِأَيَّنْظُرَ حَوَالَيْهِ مِنَ الْجِهَاتِ الْأَرْبَعَ. You're going to be searching in all directions. North, south, east and west. You're going to be searching in all directions. Now, if the place is a level place where you can actually see all around you, then he just has to look around. If not, فَإِنْ يَحْتَاجَ إِلَى التَّرَدُّدِ تردد من كل جهة قدر حد الغوث. If the place is like a bit hilly and so forth, and you can't stand and see all around you, and then you're going to have to move within plus minus 150 meters, as we will explain in a moment, بإذن الله سبحانه وتعالى. So before we get there, وينادي من معه ماء. A person should call out who has water. وَلَوْ بِثَمَنْ. Even if it means that he needs to purchase the water, he needs to take these particular steps, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Here what happens is the author gives us, this is now the author of Bayan and Ta'rif, he gives us a synopsis of the above. Because this can potentially be, it comes across as very simple, but it can potentially be confusing. What does the person actually do? So here I have two synopsis, so to say. The one is a synopsis and the other one explains or re-explains again what is meant by the search detail. So what we have is, you traveling, you need to pray. When your state is either that of a muhdith, in other words you require a wudu, or it may be that you require a purificatory bath. If there's no water, what's going to happen? If there's no water, you're going to perform the dry ablution, which takes the place of the wudu or the ghusl. But when you come to a stop now whilst you are traveling, What is your condition? Your condition is one of two, and we look to those conditions now, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the muhdith and the junub on the one side, they are either certain that there is no water. You come to a place, you know 100% that there's no water in the immediate vicinity. Then you, or if you wanted to, they will perform tayammum without searching for water. Now, even if the certainty is as a result of an informant, a single person informs them and tells them there's absolutely no water in this particular area, in this radius, there's absolutely no water. So they're certain that there's no water. What do? They don't busy themselves with searching for the water. All they do is they perform the tayammum and they perform the salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. On the other hand, if a muhdith and a junub, you and I, we come to a stop whilst we are traveling, we require either a wudu or we require a purificatory bath. Now, if they have, the muhdith and the junub, if they have dhan or shak or waham, dhan means a preponderant thought, like in all probability, or they have shak, 50-50, there may be water here, there may not be water, or they just have an idea regarding the existence of water. In all of these instances, in other words, when you don't have a certainty that there is no water here, then you're going to have to follow a particular procedure. What is that procedure? It is explained here. It is necessary to search for water for every tayammum after the time has entered, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next issue which I bring to you, and because it's in Arabic inshallah, I'm going to read and explain to you what is the search detail. You come to a place, you either, there's a probability that there's water, there's a 50-50 chance that you have water, or there's just an idea that there's going to be water, or there should be water, but you don't know. In all of these instances, you would necessarily have to search for the water after the time has set in. What is the search detail? That's basically what we present now. فَيَجِبُ عَلَيْهِمَا أَيُّفَتِّشَا فِي الْمَنْزِلِ So this is a bit of a repetition, but I'm just sort of mentioning it so that the type of lens we have on now is the lens of searching. I want to search where is the water. So let me search now. What do you do? Or what do they do? The ticks refers to a third person. فَيَجِبُ عَلَيْهِمَا أَيُّفَتِّشَا فِي الْمَنْزِلِ They must search in the place where they alighted firstly. The place where they alighted in. The garage, by way of example. The one stop that you are stopping by. وَعِنْدَ الرَّفَقَ الْمَنْسُوبِينَ لِلْمَنْزَلَ لِلْمَنْزِلَ And then you need to look at your traveling companions and search amongst them. إِنْ جَوَّزَا وُجُودَ الْمَا عِنْدَهُمْ If you think that they will have water, وَبَدْلِينْ إِيَّاهُ لَهُمَا And you also think that they will actually share the water with you. وَيَكْفِي أَيُّنَادِي It is sufficient for a person to shout out, مَنْ مَعَهُ مَاءٌ يَجُودُ بِهِ وَلَوْ بِثَمَنْ Who has water to make available, even if he's willing to exchange that water for money, for a price. ثُمَّ يَنْظُرُ حَوَالَيْهِمَا Then we've looked at the place where we alighted. We asked amongst our companions if they have water, thinking that if they have water, they would definitely either share it with us or sell it to us. If this doesn't yield any results, يَنْظُرُ حَوَالَيْهِمَا They will look around them, مِنَ الْجِهَاتِ الْأَرْبَى In all four directions. إِنْ كَانَ بِمَكَانٍ مُسْتَوِينَ If it is in a level place. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُونَ بِمَكَانٍ مُسْتَوِينَ If it's not in a level place, what would happen now? تَرَدَّدَ Then they will have to move around. What قَدْرَ حَدِّ الْغَوْثِ To the extent that normally a person who shout to help for, in other words, if a person is shouting for help, you will be able to hear a person from the distance given here would be 150 meters. So when you come to a place, then you will have to look within a radius in all four directions of 150 meters to see if there is water or not, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on to the next issue, still sticking in terms of the search detail. The instance which we mentioned a moment ago would be that the person doesn't know, or he's doubting, or he has a probability that there's water. What if a person has certainty that there's water within the vicinity? He has certainty that there's water in the vicinity. Now, if it's a close vicinity, as the text now reads, if it's a close vicinity, which equals to 1.5 miles, then it is necessary for the person to seek out that water, access the water, perform wudu, and make his salah. If he knows that there's water, but the water is not in the close vicinity, it is far off. In other words, what is meant by far off? Plus 1.5 miles. In this particular instance, it is not necessary to seek out the water. A person may perform the dry ablution and perform his salah. This is a very simple example. If a person is stopping now for dhuhr and making dhuhr and asr, he knows that if he drives on further down, 100 kilometers down the line, he's going to come to a stop where there is water. Does he have to go to that place? No, he doesn't have to go to that place. He can simply perform tayammum and perform his salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next issue which we are talking about would be, there are certain instances wherein a person, according to the Shafi school of thought now, wherein a person would perform tayammum and perform the prayer, and he's absolved of his obligation. In other words, that prayer is ada'an, it is completed. However, in certain other instances, a person could very well perform the tayammum, perform the salah, but you would have to repeat the salah. What are those instances? We look to the text, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When does a person have to make qada? That's a question. وَيَقَضِي لِفَقْدِ الْمَاءِ فِي الْحَضَرِ. A person will have to repeat the prayer when he performed tayammum, because he could not find water whilst he was resident. So that's the first instance. You at home, somehow or the other, the water gets cut off. When you're at home, generally water is to be found. But on this specific day and in this specific time, there is no water. What do you do in that particular instance? You can perform tayammum and you perform your dhuhr salah by way of example, but you will have to repeat that dhuhr prayer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Alternatively, if a person happens to be traveling, and on the travel, he doesn't find water, he performs the tayammum, and then he performs his salah, does he have to repeat that salah? The author, in terms of bayan wa ta'ri, says, وَلَا يَقَضِي إِذَا تَيَمَّمَ لِفَقْدِ الْمَاءِ فِي السَّفَرِ. He will not redo the prayer if he had performed tayammum due to the non-existence of water whilst he was traveling, very importantly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. والمراد المحل الذي يغلب فيه فقد الماء. What is meant is when a person performs tayammum in such a place where the default is that there's no water, then he performs tayammum and then he makes a salah, he doesn't have to repeat that particular salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on to the next issue, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What if a person finds himself in a situation? We've now looked at babul wudu. Wudu must be done with water. What we refer to in Cape Town, and is the word I've been told is of Turkish origin, abdestan, which means basically to put water onto your hands. So you're going to perform the wudu, you're going to make abdas. No problem. You perform the wudu, you perform your salah, in the story. In the absence of water, what do you have? You are able to perform tayammum. In other words, you use now dust producing sand in order to make istibaha, to make the prayer, or whatever other requires a state of ritual purity or requires tayammum. You basically perform the dry ablution and you make your salah. In certain instances it must be repeated, in other instances it doesn't have to be repeated. What happens if a person finds himself in a situation where there is no water and neither is there dust producing sand? What does a person do in that particular situation? Before we go into the detail, such a person, in fiqh terminology, in fiqh jargon, is referred to as faqidu tawurain, that person who doesn't find tawurain, the two purificatory material. And what is that? Water and dust producing sand. He doesn't find either. He's referred to as a faqidu tawurain. The scholar says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ بَافَضَلْ says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ مَاءً وَلَا تُرَابًا. A person who does not find water, وَلَا تُرَابًا, and neither does he find dust producing sand. كَأَنْ كَانَ عَلَى قُلَّةِ جَبَلٍ. A person finds himself on top of a mountain. صَلَّى وُجُوبًا الْفَرْضَ وَحْدَهُ وَأَعَادَ. He will necessarily have to perform the fard prayer, but he will have to repeat it when he finds water again, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next issue reads as follows: tayammum due to the cold. Is it permissible for a person who wake up in the morning, it's freezing cold, minus 30 degrees, is it permissible for a person to opt out, not perform wudu, but perform tayammum, not because it's not water, but because simply the water is freezing cold? What can a person do in this particular regard? The text reads, وَيَجُوزُ التَّيَمُّمُ لِلْبَرْدِ. It is permissible to perform tayammum, the dry ablution, used dust producing sand, لِلْبَرْدِ, when it is very cold. إِذَا فَقَدَ مَا يُسَخِّنُ بِالْمَا. If a person doesn't have the utensils with which to heat the water, what are your utensils? In other words, you need a pot, you need some wood, and you need a fire. So in this particular regard, if the water is cold, is unable to heat the water, Number one, أو كان لا تنفع تدفئة أعضائي بعد غسلها. Or he's unable to heat the water, but he's able to perform wudu in the freezing cold water and immediately thereafter heat up his limbs through a towel or through other heat mechanisms. Right? أو لا يقدر أو لا يقدر عليه أو لا يقدر عليها. So let me read through the text again. بإذن الله سبحانه وتعالى. أو كان لا تنفع تدفئة أعضائي بعد غسلها أو لا يقدر عليه. Or is unable to do that. So in those particular instances, it would be permissible for him to perform tayammum. قال ابن حجر. ابن حجر basically wraps it up. So he tells us, أما إذا نفعته التدفئة. If it is possible that he can perform wudu in the cold water and then heat himself up after that, and all the harm of using the cold water is eliminated. أو وجد ما يسخن به. Or the water is cold and he has the material with which to heat up the water. أو لم يخف ما ذكر. Or he doesn't apprehend any of the harms which were mentioned previously. فإنه لا يتيمم. In these instances he will not perform تيمم. إذ لا ضرر حينهن. Because there is no harm and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So is a person licensed, is he able to perform tayammum as opposed to wudu when the water is freezing cold? Yes, absolutely, it would be permissible with the conditions mentioned. Now, when a person performs salah with a tayammum due to cold water, importantly, the author says, وَيَقَضِ الْمُتَيَمِّمْ لِلْبَرْدِ. A person who performs tayammum due to the cold, وَالْمُتَيَمِّمَ الْعَاصِي. And a person who performs tayammum whilst on a journey, and this journey is a journey of disobedience, then both those persons would have to redo the prayer afterwards, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We now go to condition number 11. Condition number 11 reads as follows, and it basically touches on what we had mentioned a moment ago. And what is that? The travel should not be one of sin. And the reason for that simply would be, لِأَنَّ الرُّخَصَ لَا تُنَاطُ بِالْمَعَاصِي. Because dispensations are not tied into sins. هذا إذا كان الفقد شرعا. This is in the instance when a person is not able to find water شرعا due to a شرعي reason. In other words, for a legal reason. A person may be sick, he's lying on his sick bed. A person has a wound. Now, as opposed to washing that particular limb, he can perform tayammum. Now, when we look at the reason, now it's not because there's no water. It's because there's a legally valid reason for him to be performing the tayammum. Now, if this person finds himself in a state of sin, or that came as a result of a sin, then it's not permissible for him to perform tayammum thereupon until and unless he repents for that particular sin. As for a person is traveling, he's going gambling, Allah forbid, and he's traveling now over a distance of 81 kilometers, is going beyond that, but he's traveling for gambling purposes, so that would not be permissible. He comes now across a person, he cannot find water. In as regards to that particular person, it is permissible for him to perform tayammum and to make the salah, but he's going to have to repeat the salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That's the difference between the two examples which were mentioned. The last two conditions we're going to do now, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is condition number 12 and condition number 13. It reads as follows. Condition number 12 is, a person needs to remove all impurities prior to performing tayammum. And condition number 13 is to ascertain the qibla prior to tayammum, according to Ibn Hajar, as opposed to Imam Ar-Ramli. We, in our next lesson, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is lesson number 15, we are going to be dealing with the issue of hayd, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Till we meet again, barakallahu fikum jami'an, rabbana zidna ilma, may Allah increase us in beneficial knowledge. Barakallahu fikum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.